Lawyer, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
Looking at the promise. Welcome to the third hour of the program. Happy New Year. Hope everything's going well with your new year and you don't have influenza like Virginia Cruda. Hopefully Mark McCloskey is healthy, well, and ready for his first show of the new year tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. Mark McCloskey on fire. How you doing, Mark? Thanks for joining me.
Oh, very good. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So now, based on the picture that we saw posted of you looking better than RFK on your birthday, your immune system is probably pumped, ready to go, and you're absolutely immune from any kind of threat, foreign or domestic. Is this true?
Well, except for Democrats, I'm still affected a time or two by that.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the courts. Yesterday, Trump people filed. Well, previously it had been filed, and now the Supreme Court is going to hear the Colorado challenge. They're challenging in Maine Supreme Court the Secretary of State's decision there to throw him off the ballot. So, different variations on the same theme. What do you think is going to be the fallout of this? First of all, will he be reinstated on the ballot, or at least remain on the ballot? Or do you think there's a real threat that he won't be on the ballot?
You know, I think the Supreme Court's going to rule, if not 9-0, maybe 8-1 or so in favor of Trump. If you read the 14th Amendment, Section 3, I mean, it's pretty gosh darn clear it does not apply to the president. But even if it did, there's been no charge of insurrection. There's been no conviction of insurrection. It's just, you know, all politics. I posted this a couple of days ago, but I mean, the Democrats' definition of democracy is you've got the right to vote for the people that we want you to, and we're going to keep you from voting for the wrong person.
You know, we were talking earlier, Mark. I got all worked up because I was trying to get some coverage for an antiviral friend of mine, for a guy who has COVID-19, and he's really sick, and indicated medication. And when the government was subsidizing it, his Medicare prescription plan covered it at $20 or whatever it would be, because I was prescribing it then. Now it's over $1,000, because suddenly when it gets put on the back of the commercial insurers and they're not getting subsidies, Mark, guess what? They don't even cover it. Not even high, you know, copay. They don't even cover it. This collusion between conglomerates in healthcare and the government, and the ever increasing profits for these conglomerates, and we see it across. We see it in big tech. We see it in education. This is the main target that I think we need to focus on when we're asking people on the stump this election cycle. Would you agree or not?
Well, I absolutely agree. And I think that something that needs to be pointed out in every single election is how much were you worth before you got into politics? What's your net worth now? And where the heck did that money come from? Because you see all these people that come into Congress with no net worth, and they get out being multimillionaires with houses all over the country and you know, flying all over the world. Look at our alleged president, right? Here's a guy who's been a, quote, public servant, unquote, his entire life. He's got beach houses. He's got millions of dollars. He flies all over the world. His kids and grandkids are getting payoffs from all over the world. And nobody goes to jail. I mean, if you or I stole that kind of money, we would have been in jail for the rest of our lives. But everybody comes out of politics stinking rich with no explanation for where they got their money, other than the fact that the reason they're there is that they're doing favors for, like, the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies and the manufacturers and the oil companies, and making millions of dollars on the side for selling their influence.
And you know, Mark, what's even more frightening to me is whether it's the Jeffrey Epstein incident with a lot of people that, I mean, what in the world they were doing colluding with a guy that is a sex offender. And God knows what else was happening on Epstein Island, you know, or whether it's Bob Menendez with gold bars in his suit coats and, watches and cars for his wife. why do these people get away with this stuff? Yet if Jerome or you or I drive down the street at 70 miles an hour in a 55, we have to pay that ticket. If you are protecting your domicile just by showing that you have a weapon and are ready to invoke the Castle Doctrine, how come we're subject to the law, but people in high places aren't, Mark? What's going on?
We live in medieval Europe. We have a ruling class that is immune from the law, and the rest of us are a bunch of peasants that have to do as we're told. And that's absolutely the truth, and it's getting worse and worse. And you know, when you poll people, they believe it's legitimate. They think that the rich and powerful have a right to live a different life than the average person, because we've been trained to expect that rock stars and athletes and politicians have a right to live a different style of life. They can be out there sucking down every drug in the world and with impunity, and people say, okay, that's okay. But you know, when your brother-in-law gets arrested, all of a sudden you say, well, I guess he did something wrong. It is not just a two-tier justice system. There is no justice at the top end. They get to do as they darn well please, and the rest of us have to behave. And that's one of the primary gripes I have about the current political system in this country is that there's a single perpetual government that never changes. The names may change, but the people that actually pull the strings are in the background. And as I always say, when people ask me, who's in charge? My response is always, if you know their name, they're not really running things, because the people that actually run things, you never know their names. You never see their faces.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, and that's the frightening thing. Have we reached? I mean, I really think this election point, we're this election cycle, we're at a tipping point where, if we don't wrest back power to we the people, the average citizen, and decentralize the power, so at least we have a little more arm's length control over our municipal and our state governments. Let's give them the power. Let's have a little more control. Get it away from D.C. I think if it doesn't happen this cycle, man, I don't know if we're going to ever get it back. And that raises the next question. What assurance do we have that we're going to have an election that will have integrity?
Yeah, there's no guarantee on that. I've been, for the last 8 or 9 months, I've been starting every presentation with a question. And I ask the audience, whether it's 20 people or 1,000 people, I say, how many people here believe that there is a political solution to our current crisis? And in the last 29 or so speeches, only one hand has gone up, and that guy didn't understand the question. So that's a very frightening situation. But I agree. I think that if we cannot turn things around in this election cycle, we are toast.
Okay, now, Mark, I mean, you're an attorney, so you've been in the courtroom, you've written briefs, you've argued cases. Okay, it's reported that it's right out of the document. The oral argument is scheduled for January 9th in Jack Smith's, U.S. versus Donald Trump in the D.C. court. And in his appeal, because he was denied an end around a couple of weeks ago by the Supreme Court, he said, you go through the regular process. Straight out of his brief to the appellate court, I'm reading, answering brief for the United States. This is what he said about Donald Trump. The nation would have no recourse to deter a president from inciting his supporters during a State of the Union address to kill opposing lawmakers to ensure that he remains in office unlawfully. Now, is that prosecutorial misconduct to create a hypothetical, almost novel quality a scenario that Donald Trump would say in the State of Union, you guys go out and kill lawmakers? Is the appellate court going to spank him, or is this just regular pablum that you would expect in a brief?
Well, D.C. Circuit is not going to spank anybody. They're as liberal as you can possibly get. But, to say such a thing is just posturing for the media. I mean, it is absurd, and it is dangerous, amongst other things, because if you keep telling people that Donald Trump is a devil incarnate, and, Tucker Carlson talked about this, and Alex Jones talked about this, they've indicted him, they've impeached him, and everything they do to Donald Trump just makes him stronger. And so what's left? You indict him, he gets stronger. You impeach him, he gets stronger. There's only one more recourse, and that's assassination. And when you keep portraying him as the ultimate evil, in a world where people are already incensed and there's so much tension out there, what do you think the result's going to be? What do you think the risk is going to be? And when you've got a United States prosecutor saying that, you know, here is a man who would order the death of his adversaries, what are you doing? You're calling on people to exterminate that risk. It's completely, you know, it is a very, very dangerous thing to say.
Talking with Mark McCloskey. You hear him here on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1 every Sunday at 5 o'clock. Mark McCloskey on fire. What's on tap for the show tomorrow, Mark?
Well, we've got John Eastman. I've got him on for about 40 minutes talking about the weaponization of the judicial system, about the lack of or the destruction of the ability of people to retain counsel, because these days, if you have the wrong political opinion, you're a criminal. If you represent somebody who's been charged with a crime of having the wrong political opinion, you get charged, just like down in Fulton, Georgia, and you get your law license attacked. John Eastman's law license has been under fire in California since last June. They've had him on trial for days and days and days and days over what? Over having the gall to represent Donald Trump. And that's what the show is all about tomorrow, is how, what's the future if political speech is now criminalized and if you can't hire a lawyer for fear that your lawyer is going to go to jail or your lawyer is going to lose your license just for representing you.
As I understand it, Mark, I mean, Mr. Eastman is a highly respected attorney. Doesn't he have a pretty strong academic pedigree? And I mean, this guy's no slouch. He's no Michael Cohen. Let's put it that way.
No. He clerked for Clarence Thomas in the Supreme Court. He was a dean of his law school in California. He's represented over 200 cases in the Supreme Court. He is one of the best lawyers that's ever lived. But he's about to lose his license for what they call in California, the California Professionals. Gosh, I wish I could remember the exact name of the statute. It's some total BS sounding euphemism. But they've accused him of moral turpitude for representing Trump's and representing the claim that there was fraud in the last election, which, by the way, there was fraud in the last election. And anybody with eyes and ears knows it. But you're not allowed to say that anymore. In fact, you have to swear that it didn't happen, or you're subject to prosecution and persecution. But yeah, John Eastman is one of the most well-educated and one of the most powerful lawyers in the country when it comes to knowing the Constitution and knowing the law.
Well, let me, if you will, if you got time, ask him this for me, would you? If he is getting in trouble for proposing a novel theory and, you know, trying to help a candidate challenge what he believed were unfair election results, what about Judge Longeron up in the trial up in New York, where he poses for the camera and he makes a judgment before the trial goes on that the Trump organization was guilty of fraud? Why don't we talk about taking his law license away? What say you?
Yeah, you know, and you know, in my case here in the city of St. Louis, we got the circuit attorney tossed off the case and the entire circuit attorney's office because that she used us in her campaign propaganda, saying that she was going to get even with us if she got elected. Well, I mean, why hasn't that been applied around the country? The answer is that we have honest judges here in St. Louis that listen to the facts and the law, and they don't there. I mean, the bottom line is that there is no real justice in this, all over the country now. If you are a conservative Republican, if you're on the Trump team, you get pulled up on charges by corrupt leftist politically appointed prosecutors. You're in front of a judge who is politically motivated. You're in front of a jury which will convict you no matter what the facts are because they hate you. And you have to go to jail just like you really committed a crime. I mean, the problem is that the system does not work when everybody is biased. And then that's where we find ourselves today. It's very, very frightening. And then to make matters worse, just like the January 6th defendants, where in a lot of cases the judges declare them guilty before they've ever heard any facts, including a friend of mine, Ryan Zink, out in Arizona, the judge declared he's guilty before he heard any evidence. I mean, and then if you get convicted, jury took 20 minutes to convict him, recommended 21 years, and he has to actually go to prison based on a complete fraudulent system. And it's very frightening. Wow. And how do you hire a lawyer when your lawyer is afraid to represent you for fear that he'll go to jail? It's just, we no longer have even the pretense of a free country.
My God, it's really frightening. Well, it's election cycle when we can grab it back or not. It's the voter's choice. Mark McCluskey, thanks for being with me. Look forward to listening tomorrow at 5 on Mark McCluskey on Fire. Sounds like it's going to be a fabulous interview with John Eastman. Thanks for everything, brother. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is, Mark McCluskey. When we come back, Dr. Bob Onder. And we're going to discuss how his lieutenant governor race is going. We talk about, what's going on in the Missouri State Legislature with the Freedom Caucus just being formed. That's my thrust of my conversation with him. Already some shots across the bow at the opening days of the session. Holy cow. It's going to be wild and woolly. We'll talk with Bob Onder in just a moment. Stay there. Welcome back to the program. Trying to get in touch with Dr. Bob Onder because on the wake of the Blaine Lutkemeyer announcement that he's not going to be running for re-election, a long-term congressman in the sometimes remodeled 3rd Congressional District and on the Financial Services Committee. So he's and he was really up for more and more powerful positions. I contacted Bob and said, hey, man, people are texting me, want to know what's going on in your world because Bob is such a patriot and such an active member, certainly as a former state representative, then a senator and a leader in the Senate when he was there. So I want to talk with him about the whole election cycle. I think he joins us now, right? How you doing, Bob? Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Randy. Great to be back.
Did you and Allie and the family have a good Christmas and New Year? Everyone healthy and hearty and hale?
We did. It was a great Christmas. The whole family was in town, which, when you have 6 kids, you can't always pull off. And, got some rest. Things have been pretty busy the last few days, though.
Yeah, it's been busy. Hey, I want to talk about the Missouri State Legislature, first of all, and about early in the session. I mean, it opened on Wednesday, and during floor speeches in the Senate, already salvos, shots across the bow between Freedom Caucus members and, others saying, hey, it was your fault property taxes didn't go. We're not going to stand down. I mean, it looks to be a very lively session. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, lively would be a good word for it, Randy. On opening day of session, or I guess the second day of session, first actual business day, one of the senators, one of the non-Freedom Caucus senators, had just been minutes before on a Columbia radio station calling out some of the conservative caucus members, Freedom Caucus members by name, saying, well, this bill this guy filed isn't conservative and this isn't. And so one of the Freedom Caucus senators inquired of that senator on the floor, Senator, how did you vote on the gas tax hike? How did you vote on Medicaid expansion? How did you vote on defunding Planned Parenthood and several other votes like that? And, in the old days, the old Senate decorum, Senate courtesy, you never actually asked questions like that of senators. But then again, you didn't generally go on the radio station bashing the fellow senators by name. So, I think there's really a divide. There's a divide between kind of, Chamber of Commerce, establishment, Donald Trump would use the word swamp Republicans, who, kind of just want the wheels of government to run very, very quickly, very smoothly, and pass a whole bunch of special interest bills. And then there are others who want to do big conservative things like we're seeing in Florida and Texas and Arkansas, Iowa. And they want, they want to cut taxes. They want to get rid of personal property tax. They want to defund DEI and Planned Parenthood. They want to, get rid of the loopholes in the law protecting kids from the transgender ideologue quacks. That's a pretty big divide as to how they should spend their time in Jefferson City. I would note that, you know, they spend almost 5 months in Jefferson City. That's a very long legislative session. Texas only meets every other year. Some states have month and a half long sessions. So I don't know why we cannot do real conservative reforms, why we run out of time every year. You know, when we have almost, you know, we are no longer in the legislature, when the body has 5 months to do their business.
Yeah, yeah. That remains confusing. And I tell you, we broadcast with my morning show in Columbia, doing morning drive there now, and we were down at the governor's prayer breakfast on Thursday.
Yes.
We interviewed Senator Bernsketter, who, you know, I asked him, I said, how come we can't get anything done? Are we going to have to stop renting property, our personal property, from the government? I thought I already paid tax on it, called sales tax. And, well, we could have got that across the line, but after all, it was within the Freedom Caucus, and I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
They got hung up with one of their members wanting to get this, gaming through, and that's what hung it up. Don't look at us, the non-Freedom Caucus people. We were ready to go. Well, Bill Igel, our good friend Bill Igel, he heard it. He was driving in. Well, I had Bill on the show later, and he was like, whoa, that's not the story. I don't know. No one knows what the story is. But my question to Bill and my question to you and my good friend Cindy O'Loughlin, by the way, who's a very good friend.
Cindy is a very good friend.
At what point do the voters say, we're going to throw all the bums out because you guys can't get anything done?
Well, I think, Randy, that's exactly the way a party loses control of a legislature or control of Congress, for instance. At a certain point, the partisan infighting becomes so bad that the intra-partisan infighting becomes so bad that they throw the bums out. There is no reason in the world, Randy, that Kansas should ever have a Democrat governor. But that's what the kind of thing that happens when this gets to an extreme level. As far as the business of, if the conservative caucus, the Freedom Caucus, wasn't acting up, we would have got all these good conservative reforms done. That's just complete and utter bunk, Randy. Leadership controls the calendar. They control a committee referral of bills. They control the committees. They control what bills come out of committees, and then they control floor time. When things don't get done, it's because someone, usually leadership, doesn't want to get them done. And I'm really, again, Cindy is a good conservative and a good friend of mine. I'm not talking about Cindy here. I'm talking about some of the other folks, both in the House and in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And some of the rank and file, I'll just call them rhino members of the body, both House and Senate. It's completely disingenuous to say that because of Bill Igel, because of Mike Moon, because of the Freedom Caucus, we would have done all this stuff. We just ran out of time. That's nonsense, especially in a legislature that has a 5 month long session.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to just as a citizen observer, you know, to watch it, because it's just the most frustrating thing in the world. It's like, I'm sure that the so-called rhinos want to do some property tax reform. On the other hand,
they hear from their local officials who say, oh my god, and even when property tax might be like 5% of a local government budget, it's a trivial percentage for instance of school budgets, you tell a bureaucrat they're going to have 50 cents taken out of their coffers, they will fight you to the death. And too many of the more moderate Republicans know they do not want to cut taxes. They do not want to cut taxes. One of the members said, yeah.
Let me offer you this, though. I mean, even let's say, okay, we don't live in a, you know, I'm a highly principled person. It's my way or the highway. And I'm stereotyping here. We don't live in that kind of a governing constitutional republic. But what if we were to say, at a minimum, on the property tax, can we move towards some incremental reform? The first of them I would propose is, if Bob Onder, because he's a highly successful allergy and immunologist, wants to own a a Lamborghini, and I know you don't.
Yeah, but I don't.
And Randy Tobler, who's just a talk show host and trying to start a direct primary care practice, drives a 2015 Ford F-250. Why should we use the same amount of roads? We flush the same amount of toilets. We use the same amount of infrastructure to get our water and our electricity and our sewers and everything to our house. Why are we paying based on the value of our property, not about, why not the usage? Why not a head tax as a start? How many cars do you own? Flat rate.
Right.
How many people in your house? Can we even start there, Bob?
Well, I think that would be a great idea, Randy, just like I like the idea of a flat tax as opposed to a progressive income tax. I think that's a great idea. Parenthetically, Bob Onder just traded in his 2014 F-150 with 200,000 miles. So, yeah, no Lamborghinis in the Onder household.
I know that. I agree. But you're every man's doctor. I know that.
But let me get back to my first point, your first point, though. You are right. Sometimes in Jefferson City and in Washington, D.C., you hear the lament that why don't you get more done, quote unquote. Clarence Thomas gave a very famous speech a few years ago in which he pointed out that in our constitutional republic, our government is designed as a check on, if you will, getting things done, because our government is one of our Constitution creates a limited government and one in which individual rights and minority rights are protected. So we have three branches of government. We have two chambers. We have a governor who has a veto. We have a legislature that can override a governor's veto. And the point is honestly, we have a government. The best way to get things done is just to have a dictator with absolute power, right? The best way to check that power and the brilliance of the framers of our Constitution is that it's a little more difficult to get things done. So, right. Where do I agree with Senator DeLisle, for instance, that I would love to pass a bill tomorrow completely outlawing the personal property tax? Absolutely. But might incremental reform, but would that pass tomorrow? No, it wouldn't. But incremental reform in that direction? Absolutely. Sometimes you take a half a loaf today and come back for the other half later on. No, I agree with that. In all honesty, Senator Igel, the Freedom Caucus, and others are open to that kind of reform, that kind of incremental reform. I mean, after all, that's the way over the years we protected innocent human life in this state. But I think too many times the more moderate members of both chambers aren't interested in those sorts of bills at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're drawing their own line in the sand, but they're accusing others of drawing an unreasonable line in the sand. All right. Before we wrap it up here, happy birthday to Dr. Bob Onder. It's your
Thank
birthday.
You.
Hey.
Thank you.
39 again?
13. It's some anniversary of 39 years old. Yeah.
All right. Well, with those mounting anniversaries comes wisdom. Okay. So I have to ask you, Bob.
Yes.
I have to ask you. When Blaine Lukemeyer announced that he was retiring, not going to run for reelection, my text threads were blowing up with going to be a wild field. What about Dr. Bob? What about Bob Onder? What about Bob Onder? One after another. I got to ask you the question.
Well, yeah, good question. You know, I first want to say I do want to thank Blaine for his service. You know, he and I were in the same Republican primary back in 2008. Of course, Blaine prevailed. You know, and I think in recent years, I'm kind of proud of the way, you know, in the financial services industry, in his personal life, and then, of course, financial services committee member. It's tough to stand up to the woke finance corporations on issues like ESG and DEI, and Blaine did that, and that was very admirable. He had a 100% pro-life record, pro-Second Amendment record. Look, our country right now is in a crisis. We live in an increasingly dangerous world. We live in a country where an American household has to spend $11,000 more every year just to maintain the same standard of living as when Joe Biden took office. Our enemies no longer fear us. Our allies no longer trust us. And we are no longer energy independent. Just like at the state level, it is important that whoever we send to Congress not just have an R behind their name, but that they're committed to conservative principle and committed to making America great again. I was looking very strongly and announced for the lieutenant governor's race. I really have to look and prayerfully consider how I can best serve our state and our country. I ask your listeners for their prayers.
All right. Well, we'll take that as a highly qualified thinking about it. Maybe. All right. And we'll continue the conversation, Bob. And you're always welcome.
We absolutely will.
Since you and I both are Ford F whatever guys, you'll announce if you do decide. Maybe it'll be on this program. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Maybe you have an open invitation.
You know that.
Maybe it will. You and I have known each other forever. You were my obstetrics resident when I was a third-year medical student, so we go back a little ways.
Yeah, and because you're much smarter than me, you ended up doing allergy and immunology and clinical research, and so there you go. Hey, thanks so much, Bob. I really appreciate it. Have a happy birthday, and thanks for joining us on your birthday.
Well, thank you, Randy. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Well, very compelling, interesting interview with Dr. Bob Onder there as things are really shaken up with Blaine Lutkemeyer's announcement. Let's see what Bob decides to do. There's lots of other very good people that are going to be running, and we'll have to see if Bob decides to switch gears and go from LG to CD3. We'll have to see. I'm Randy Tobler, News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. So glad you're here. We'll be back and take your calls as we wrap it up on this first show of the new year. 314-912-1019. Be right back. So this show, we've spent a lot of time talking about virtues, virtuous governance, virtuous living, virtuous decision making, and virtuous service. When you go to Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles, that's what you will have. People that really care. I know, because I've gone there for years, and now Dr. Daniel Cusimano and his partner, Dr. Megan Dwyer, these are two fabulous dentists with an unbelievably dedicated, service-oriented staff. I'm not just blowing hot air here, guys. I experience it every time I go. And I would recommend that if you want a dentist that really cares, if you want to maybe get a little Botox because you're grinding your teeth down to nothingness, it's a problem I have. I wear a little dental guard, but you can also get injected. We talked about it here on the air. Megan Dwyer's been doing a lot of that. I know Daniel as well. So look, there's a lot of work they do in and around your teeth, whether it's basic dental care for the kids, for the parents, for the grandparents, whether it's the more advanced stuff. Beautiful 3D imaging they use. I have a crown placed. It's beautiful. That's as close as I'll get to being a king, but they make you feel like a king or a queen when you go there. How'd you like that crown segue? Pretty good. That's the way you feel when you go to Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles. Get a crown, get a cleaning, get a filling, whatever you need. 978-0226, 636-978-0226, or advanceddentistrynow.com. That's Advanced Dentistry of St. Charles.
We have a couple callers for you right now. I'm going to go ahead and put Gene on the line. He's been eagerly waiting to get a hold of you today.
Beautiful. Hey, Gene, how you doing? Welcome to the program. Happy New Year.
I am good. How are you this morning?
I'm a little fired up, man. I had a bad experience with trying to get my patients some med for their COVID-19. That got me fired up.
So I heard, and I can stoke the fire, tell Helene to get some more tea out for you to settle you down after that.
Okay.
I see patients frequently that will come in. They've got need for home oxygen, fair amount of. And some of these patients need what we refer to as liquid oxygen, which comes in a thing basically the size like two home dehumidifiers, if you will. And they can refill their own oxygen tanks. And in short, you've got a large quantity of oxygen that they can have at home so they don't have to have people coming in all the time. That's kind of on the pricey side. The insurance companies will not pay for liquid oxygen anymore. They tell people, oh, you have to use E-tanks. And for people that don't know, that's basically an aluminum cylinder that's about 4.5 inches wide and about 26 inches tall. Now, oxygen, people that are on a higher amount of oxygen, 6 liters to 15 liters oxygen, one of those tanks will run anywhere from, on those flow rates, 37 minutes to 93 minutes before they're empty. A person that needs that much oxygen for E-tank, they're going to have a whole bunch of them in their home and have people keep coming in and out daily to refill their oxygen. That's just absolute craziness.
Oh, man. Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, there's something going on there. My guess is, we probably can tell, if you had to buy individual bottles of Windex or dishwashing soap or hand soap for your little pump at the vanity, the retailer would make a lot more money. But guess what? We live in that realm. We live in a competitive supply and demand, capitalistic realm, because the government hasn't yet gotten into that. They're not buying our dish soap for us. So guess what? You can buy bulk refill bottles. Isn't that funny? When the government gets involved and they're subsidizing things, the suppliers know that they can get a higher rate for the individual amount rather than the bulk amount, right? Am I wrong?
That's exactly right, and that's a good analogy.
Yep. Now, I hope some government type doesn't sponsor a bill that we're going to start buying dish soap for people.
Yeah, really. Hey, one other thing, if I can change subjects up here real quick. Somebody on the station this week was talking about, I think it's Wednesday this week, SCOTUS is going to be discussing and making a decision on the Chevron procedure, and that's basically where they're going to try to withdraw power from all these various regulatory agencies that are basically making law and subjugating the judicial and the representative law system. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Hopefully they'll be able to rein that in. Yep.
You're so right. That's got to be, we've got to reel it back in. Hey, Gene, thanks very much, brother. Thanks for your testimony to the tyranny of government involvement in our healthcare and the consolidation and conglomeration of healthcare. That's a whole other issue. Thanks, brother. Hope you have a great, great and happy and healthy new year.
You too, doctor. Thank you so much. Good friend.
All right. Good to talk with you. Up next is old Rick. How you doing, Rick from Marthasville?
And getting older every day. Thankfully, I reckon. Boy.
But, hey, thanks for that wonderful Christmas card. I got your Christmas card. It was really magnificent. Thank you so much, Rick.
Oh, well, thanks for letting me know the successful delivery. And at least I didn't have to do it from the backside of the world this time, anything like that. So I sure wouldn't mind being back over there.
What? Oh, there we go. Are we still connected to Rick?
No, it's one of those other technical difficulties.
Are you there, Rick?
Sorry about that, Rick. I think that we got disconnected from you as well.
Well, give us a call back, Rick. We'll try to reconnect. So, look, we've had an active show today. I'm going to give you a little heads up about some planning for the programming here as the year progresses. I want to hear more from you. We'll have guests. We'll have my rants. We'll have my not so rant, but an analytic and informed approach to some discussion of the day, weeks and months events. But I want to hear more from you. And we're going to make sure that we have segments open so that you can call, whether it's at, in the 6 o'clock hour, the 7 o'clock hour, the 8 o'clock hour. That's our goal. And so program into your phone, if it isn't already there, News Talk STL. Caller line 314-912-1019. And when something really gets your goat, frost your buns, what other kind of colloquialism can I use? I want to make sure that you're able to call us, because we're going to allow time for that. All right. Is Rick back on?
We got Rick back. What a trooper.
All right. Rick, are you? Did you have to put on your? Yep. Did you have to put on your snowshoes and go out and brave the weather to go out and stoke the fire in the wood-fired stove outside to bring heat into your home?
Outside, I don't like heating the outside. Mine's inside. Simple as that. this darned old phone system, these comms that I got, they're not, like, it ain't the pocket phone. It's my, I guess you call it computer phone, but it has to go so many thousands of miles. It goes up some thousands of miles up above us, then crosses thousands of miles over Europe, and then goes down over there, and then has to make the return trip. So, surprising it even works this good. But anyway, I wanted to check with you a little bit. Yeah, we heard about that Blaine Luckenmeyer retiring, so we done found another feller to take his place. Are you familiar with Shane Willer?
Shane Willis. Not sure. Tell us about it. We have about a minute.
Okay, well, he's been a pretty good feller back in my county for a pretty good long time, and he's not quite 3 score, but he's pretty darn sharp. And anyway, just thought I'd mention his name while we got it handy, but we got plenty of time on before he has to make his decision. And you heard about the maybe 20 inches of snow coming, ain't you?
I've heard about that, but we've had those scares before. I don't know that that's going to happen.
Well, you're not good for the snowplow business, but we'll manage. And also, did you hear about the case of where these folks were going out to have a lot of fun? They were in a big old boat, their yacht, and they went out somewhere in the ocean, and they decided, heck, we're going to go swimming. So they went diving off the boat, and the last one, he grabbed his lady and jumped in. They were having so much fun until they realized one minor mistake. They forgot to lower the ladder to be able to get back on the boat.
Oh.
That deal.
Wow. Sounds like an Epstein maneuver to me. Hey, Rick, we got to run. Thanks so much for the call. I wonder if their last name was Epstein.
Right.
I'm just saying. I don't know. Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it, Rick. Great to talk with you. Hey, been great being with everyone this morning. And thanks for being with us this and every week as we progress in this pivotal existential election cycle. For Jerome Bayouk, I'm Randy Tobler. Stay tuned for On the Money with Eric and Bob.